Right. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's just pray, shall we, before we begin. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through the blood of Jesus we can come into your holy presence. And Lord, that's what we're really going to be thinking about this morning, just being with you and with each other. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit will guide us, Lord, that you will teach us through your word, Lord, and through the music that, and the songs we're going to hear. Lord, will you draw us closer to yourself, Lord, and to each other, Lord, that we might be truly your family, Lord, in whom you delight. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to start by listening to a song by Don Francisco. And the song is called And the Spirit Sings, which is where I got the title for this morning devotion from. So have a listen, and then we're going to talk about it a bit, and then we're going to listen to it again at the end, if the techie stuff, we hope so.
Familiar and comfortable religious tradition descends. No closer to God at the first than they are at the end. Expected experiences, just as the bulletin said. Doctrinally pure, but the words were all empty and dead. Spirit grieves, and the Spirit grieves. You can tell it's professional as soon as the service begins. There really is something to see, and they're packing them in. Exciting performances and music and gesture and word. Emotions are high, but beneath it all, nothing is stirred. And the Spirit grieves. And the Spirit your home when you walk through the living room door, surrounded by friends that you love, that you've been waiting for. No leader is seen, but still people give voice as they're shown, all bringing the gifts that the Spirit has given his own. Then led by the Master himself into worship and praise, the Shekinah descends and unfolds every heart that is raised. And the Spirit sings, and the love of Jesus heals and flows. New life is born, and truth is preached and heard and known. Explodes around the throne, and the Spirit sings, and the Spirit sings, and the Spirit sings, and the Spirit sings, and the Spirit sings.
Thank you, Don Francisco, for writing that song. But you may have noticed there are descriptions of several different types of churches in that song. There's the traditional evangelical church, sound and comfortable. Not much life there, though. And then there's the worldly church. It's professional, glitzy, attractive, successful. Packing them in, but no real life there. Yeah, emotions are high. But beneath it all, nothing is stirred. The spirit isn't there. And then, finally, we get a real church where the love of Jesus heals and flows. And it's more than just that. Led by the Master himself into worship and praise, the Shekinah descends and enfolds every heart that is raised. The Shekinah means the felt, visible almost, presence of God, tangible presence of God. I've been in such a meeting perhaps two or three times in my whole Christian life, and there's nothing to compare to such an experience of being enveloped in the loving, joyful, peaceful presence of God. And when I was a student, I had the privilege of going to the Kingston Fellowship, Kingston-on-Thames, which was quite closely linked with Uncle Sid's church in, well, not Uncle Sid's church, but the church where Uncle Sid ministered in Chard. And it's such an amazing church, so relaxed, and yet they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember one of the leaders there was a fellow called Timmy Bateson. He was actually an actor for the BBC. And I used to go to his house church in the evenings. We'd be sitting on his living room floor, just as that song described, and the love of Jesus would heal and flow. Some Sunday mornings in the church, Timmy would come up to me and say, "Oh, Richard, darling, could you bring your guitar to the house church, on Wednesday evening?" And it was just his way. He was a happily married man with three kids, three teenage children, and they were all there too. Well, I remember one evening, a lady came along, and she really, with her husband, and apparently this lady had a real gift for ministering to house groups, and she wanted to ask, could we use her ministry? And I just thought, not quite sure about this lady, and we all carried on chatting. And then a little while later, we heard this growling noise, and she was sitting on the settee with Timmy beside her, writhing and growling like an animal as he cast a demon out of her. Without fuss, quite calmly, as if this was perfectly normal, and we thought, oh, perfectly normal, we just carried on. And this lady looked deeply unhappy afterwards. I think the shock of realising that her wonderful ministry was actually not from God at all, I think, it was humbling for her. But there we are. But that was the kind of thing that happened, and people were prayed for and lifted. And I was quite a troubled young man in those days, and often down in the dumps, and yet being there with that house group, praying for each other, it lifted my heart. It really did. But it seems that such experiences are rare. I've not known a meeting like that for several decades, I think. Maybe you have more recently. Is God stingy with his presence? Why is it so rare? No. Well, first of all, if we were given it all in this life, we couldn't handle it, and we'd have nothing to look forward to when he returns, when we come to him in glory. What we're given here is a foretaste of what we will receive in heaven. One day we shall be in his holy presence forever. But what about the churches? There are so many where there's little life. And let me ask you, have you ever heard people say you'll find more fellowship in a pub than you will in a church? Have you heard that saying? Yeah? It's a criticism of the poor state of the church. And we think of a typical English church as a place where people keep themselves to themselves. Their lives are not shared. Their religion is a very private thing, so they say, and that's probably true of a great many churches throughout the land. So, is it true about pubs? Well, this summer I went to the Sidmouth Folk Festival, camped there for a week. The folk band I play in, near Bristol, goes there every year. And during the day we'd play as a band on the seafront. We're actually collecting money for the lifeboat charity there. We play in the town squares. And in the evening, people would congregate in various venues and pubs. And you could just bring your instrument along and you'd find yourself playing with whoever else was there. You'd find yourself playing with people you'd never met before. And you just share in the music and the atmosphere and the chat. And I loved every minute of it. No denying that. But at the end of the week, it's time to pack up, go home. And I had a sort of flat feeling that there was something missing. It didn't take me long to realise what it was. I'd had a great time playing the music I loved with people whose company I enjoyed. Great companionship. But it wasn't fellowship. What was missing? The presence of Jesus. When you have a gathering of believers, Jesus is the centre. He's present there. But not here. No, we'd had a great time, but it was not fellowship. Where when a group of believers meet together, Jesus promised, "I am there in the midst." He's in the centre of everything, the music, the worship, the sharing, the word of God. And the Holy Spirit leads the group if they let him. The living water flows, yes. And believers are filled. Yes. and lifted and taught, led, guided and healed. And when you leave a meeting like that, you've had spiritual food and your thirst is quenched, not with beer, but with living water. And you don't leave with a lonely feeling. You know that you're going with the love of God in your heart and the love of your fellow believers. It remains with you wherever you're going to next. So what is it about churches where real fellowship is hard to find? When I was a young child, I was taken along to our local Anglican church. Sunday by Sunday, we sang hymns, had readings and prayers. And Sunday school, we were taught how we should all be good boys and girls. Yeah, remember that? And sometimes I'd listen to a sermon when there was no Sunday school. But I remember thinking one day, this church has about as much life in it as the building had, just cold grey stone. And eventually I got to thinking, well, maybe God must be like that too. You know, he's cold and grey, doesn't smile much. One day, when I was 16, I became a Christian, born again by the Spirit of God, all my sins forgiven and washed away. What a day, brand new life. And I started to experience what Christians call fellowship, depth of friendship, closeness and acceptance, with a shared faith, a shared hope, a shared purpose and a shared spirit. But it seemed elusive. Sometimes it was there, sometimes it just wasn't. This was a brethren church, very sound in the faith, brother, word and doctrine. That's what it was all about, you know. And they were good people. They loved the Lord, but they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, they had the Spirit dwelling within them. But anyway, as I began to read the Bible in earnest, I read about the love of God that Christians are supposed to have in their hearts. And I thought, where is it? The love of God, the depth of love Jesus commanded us to have, where is it? And here's Jesus' command in John 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's serious love. Wow. And Jesus, again, John chapter 13, verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I thought, well, you know, we're a nice bunch, but if people looked at us from the outside, would they know Jesus was amongst us? I'm not sure. So what's the problem? Is to have this love just wishful thinking? Or is there a disconnect somewhere? Is there a reason? Is there a reason for this apparent disconnect? And I think, yes, the main reason is fear. First of all, mankind is a sinful race. One reason why we don't experience real fellowship with each other and with God, we're afraid. Why are we afraid? It goes right back to the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So Adam had sinned and that whatever heavenly robe of righteousness that covered him was gone. And sin is a condition that brings spiritual nakedness and the instinctive fear that goes with it. So Adam hid himself. He was afraid to be seen for what he was in the presence of God. And we're afraid of the light when our hearts are sinful. But Jesus has paid the price for our sin. When we become Christians, we're born again by the Spirit of God. All our sins are washed away. Our old sin nature, inherited from Adam, is put to death and we're given a new nature and a new heart. And Paul in Ephesians 5:8 says this, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And there is a way to walk in the light. James chapter 5, verse 16, I think it is. Yes. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It's not a comfortable thought, actually, bringing our innermost feelings into the light in this way, but it's a powerful way to find the forgiveness of God and release from sinful patterns of life. Here's some verses in 1 John, well-known verses these. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, give us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there is the promise of fellowship with God and with each other right there. Okay, there's another reason why we don't always experience that fellowship that that we're longing for, and that is hurt. There's sin, there's hurt. Someone once said, people are like porcupines. They feel lonely, and there is that desire to experience closer relationship with their fellow Christians. But as porcupines are prickly, so are people sometimes. If you get too close, there's the possibility that you'll get hurt, so you draw apart again. But there's still that ache for closer fellowship. Well, David said this, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That word wicked, if there is any wicked way in me, it's sometimes translated as hurtful. If there's any hurtful or offensive way in me. And we can pray, Lord, if there are hurtful ways in me, hurtful to myself or to others, open my eyes to it, help me repent, lay it all at the foot of the cross. Renew my mind, help me to be like Jesus. But if we've been hurt, we're reluctant to risk getting hurt again. Don't underestimate the power of a broken heart. Proverbs 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? But Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It's part of the very mission statement of our Lord, to heal the brokenhearted. As we come to him and ask him, we can find that healing. Okay, there's a third reason. Why is that presence of God elusive? And that is absence of the Spirit. And I touched upon it earlier. You know, good sound brethren fellowship I was brought up in, but baptism in the Spirit, I'd never heard of it. One or two of my fellow young people at the fellowship would whisper it to each other, you know, but we better not talk about it too loudly because the elders of the church might hear and get upset. Yeah. Very controversial then. It was a real issue. There were major leading figures in the Church of England and evangelicalism who were dead against the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a second experience after you've been saved. And so the Spirit was there, but not in full measure. He was restricted. Now, here's a question. How do we experience the love of God, both knowing his love for us, loving him back, loving our fellow believers as Christ loved us? It's not just a feeling. Feelings come and go. You know, you can think, oh, I feel really emotional, like that professional church. You know, emotions are high. Today, I feel I really love everybody and my brothers and sisters, but the feeling comes and the feeling goes. It's not just a feeling. Paul in Romans 12, verse 9, let love be genuine, or let love be without hypocrisy. How do we love each other? When our eyes are open to see the glory of God in each other and to know his love for his people and for those he's drawing to himself, that's part of it. But where is it? Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. If you're taking notes, Romans 5, verse 5. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And this is how we have the love of God in our hearts. By the Holy Spirit, and there's no other way. We're born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell in our hearts. Yes, he's there, but there's another dimension of life that in the Spirit that we need to come into. We need to be baptized, immersed totally in the Holy Spirit. The usual evangelical doctrine is you receive it all when you're born again. If you're born again, you have also been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there seems to be quite a lot of resistance, as I've mentioned earlier, because of the pronouncements of, you know, respected church leaders. There seems to be resistance to the concept that a person might not have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and therefore a reluctance to ask the Lord to do that for us. And many Christians, in complete sincerity, daily ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but because of the prevailing teaching of the church, they don't accept the necessity of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, so they're afraid to ask. And John Wesley is reputed to have said, "You who think you received it all when you were converted," so this goes back, you know, 2 centuries at least, "you who think you received it all when you were converted, then let me ask you, in the name of heaven, where is it?" Yeah. "Don't be afraid to ask. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. I say to you, ask and it will be given you." These are the words of Jesus, of course. "Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So what about fellowship then? "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst." And Psalm 133, we won't read it out, is a lovely picture of the unity of believers. And time is going on. Instead of listening, I was going to ask Ralph to play the song again, but I think I'll just read out the last verse, that you know, the lyrics of that last verse in that song, which will just remind us of what it's about. "You feel like you're home when you walk through the living room door, surrounded by friends that you love, whom you've been waiting for. No leader is seen, but still people give voice as they're shown, all bringing the gifts that the Spirit has given his own. Then, led by the Master himself, into worship and praise, the Shekinah descends and enfolds every heart that is raised. And the Spirit sings, and the love of Jesus heals and flows. New life is born, and truth is preached and heard and known. And the Spirit sings, and joy explodes around the throne. And the Spirit sings, and the Spirit sings." And I almost feel quite emotional actually reading that, you know, almost a bit choked, because I just long for that. I know all of us do, that those times together when the Spirit is with us. And the Bible says God sings over us. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." So let's pray. Let's finish with prayer. Lord, we pray that every day, Lord, we may come to the light. Trust that the blood of Jesus washes away all our sin as we confess our failings and our sins to you. Lord, take our fear of the light away. Lord, may you heal us. May you give us your beauty for our ugliness, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. Lord, will you fill us with your Spirit? If we've not yet received the baptism of the Spirit, will you lead us, Lord, to receive that? May we be daily filled with the Holy Spirit, that the love of God may be poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. May we daily be led by the Spirit of God as true sons and daughters of the living God. May we be led by the Spirit of God to seek his presence continually, to find our way into your holy sanctuary, Lord, not just individually, but together. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Do you have time to play it?
Yes, let's hear it again.
Familiar and comfortable religious tradition descends. No closer to God at the first than they are at the end. Expected experiences, just as the bulletin said. Doctrinally pure, but the words were all empty and dead. And the Spirit grieves. And the Spirit grieves. Tell it's professional as soon as the service begins. Really is something to see, and they're packing them in.
exciting performances in music and gesture and word. Emotions are high, but beneath it all, nothing is stirred. And the spirit grieves. And the spirit grieves. You feel like you're home when you walk through the living room door. Surrounded by friends that you love, that you've been waiting for. No leader is seen, but still people give voice as they're shown. All bringing the gifts that the Spirit has given His own. Then led by the Master Himself into worship and praise, the Shekinah descends and unfolds every heart that is raised. And the Spirit sings, and the love of Jesus heals and flows. New life is born, and truth is preached and heard and known. Explodes around the throne.